ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, January 31st, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Dwayne, how's your Friday morning going?
It's pretty good. I'm at the office and I have a pair of dress pants on with a pair of indoor soccer cleats and an Adidas zip up. So I'm a right interesting looking fella right now. I'm wearing the cleats because they're new and I have to play tomorrow. So I'm trying to break them in at the office, but I look a little foolish.
Thanks for the clarification. I was thinking you grabbed the wrong bag when you left this morning. Instead of grabbing your clothes bag, you grabbed a football bag. You're like, oh, geez, I guess I'm working in my cleats. Or maybe you were getting ready for the big game on Sunday and you were wearing your cleats at the office because they're red, I guess. But you were just wanting to be ready in case Nashville needs a team or something. Speaking of Nashville, that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. A lot of politics in Nashville going on right now. Let's put the facts out there. Actually, Major League Soccer and Nashville SC yesterday, Dwayne, released a statement. And I think before we move further into this conversation, let's read that statement. Let's talk about who Mayor John Cooper is after. And then from then, we can maybe look at the whole picture and see what's happening. Is it politics? Is it just about funding? Is it more about a lot of things? We'll get to it in a second. Following a meeting with Nashville Mayor John Cooper at Major League Soccer's office in New York City on Thursday, Major League Soccer and Nashville SC issued the following statement. Driven by the excitement of fans around Nashville SC's opening game and the city's bid to host the 2026 World Cup, we couldn't be more excited about soccer's potential in Nashville. Earlier today, we met with Mayor John Cooper at Major League Soccer's office in New York City to discuss the status of Nashville SC's stadium project. The new stadium and ancillary development have very broad support throughout Nashville and has been overwhelmingly approved multiple times by Metro Council. Despite that, Mayor Cooper has not provided approval to begin the demolition to move forward with the stadium project. So for the past 4 months, Nashville SC has worked to make the stadium deal even better and has proposed a number of new solutions to satisfy his concerns. Even with these proposed new solutions, the mayor today refused to commit to move forward with the demolition and the approved stadium plan. During today's meeting, MLS Commissioner Don Garber made it clear to Mayor Cooper that Major League Soccer would not have awarded Nashville an expansion team without the commitment made by the city to build a soccer stadium at the fairgrounds. The mayor's continued refusal to proceed is a deep disappointment to Nashville SC and Major League Soccer. Nashville SC has agreed to work with the mayor's office over the next week to advance the discussions and finalize a plan to begin the stadium construction project. We hope for a mutually agreeable solution and expect to have an update regarding the project by February 6th. So basically, this is what it's about. For the last 4 months, Mayor Cooper has not given his approval for the demolition of a few buildings necessary for the construction of the new buildings and the stadium of Nashville SC.
Yeah, my understanding of him refusing to demolish these buildings, it's like the political equivalent of like chaining yourself to the front of a tree you don't want to get chopped down or something, you know, because until that happens, you can't move ahead, right?
After you sold that tree already, after you sold that wood already.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, I don't want to suggest for a moment that we should just blindly accept that the people of Nashville should, you know, blindly accept this, right? Like, obviously, there has to be political oversight and oversight in general for any of these big projects. And if you've listened to Kevin and I talk on Five Rings at all, you'll know that I think, anyway, we're fairly balanced in terms of our infrastructure stadium discussions. I don't think there's a lot of balance in these discussions generally on either side of them. And this to me sounds to me on a surface look from the outside like a probably conservative politician that is playing the taxpayer protector role and is refusing to spend money and is trying to get squeeze as much as he can out of a deal that he personally does not like, even though it has democratically passed all the approvals right now. And this is, you know, not to get into the politics too much, but that's kind of the unfortunate, and where he loses me morally is this just actually did go through the process. It has passed. His predecessor did it, sure. But
everything his predecessor did, he has tried to wipe it off the map. That's what it looked like from a guy in Montreal looking at Nashville politics. So I'm a bit removed from the situation, you're going to say. But from my grasp, from my understanding of spending the last couple, last night, in the actual last night and this morning looking at this, Dwayne, you said he lost you morally when he almost reneged an agreement that was made with his predecessor. Here's the only political position that he has really made clear so far since taking office in 2019. Cooper has stated that Nashville cannot and will not be a sanctuary city. In October 2019, Cooper reversed an executive order implemented by former mayor. So that phrase, I think, has been uttered a lot since Mayor John Cooper has taken office, reversed an executive order by David Brindley, former mayor of Nashville. So I think there's a little bit of that. But once the mayor approved the business proposal, because that's what it is. It's not just a professional team. It's a business partnership agreement. Deals some funds, involves everywhere. And of course, last year, Ian Eyre, Dwayne, who is the CEO of Nashville SC, has came out saying, yeah, it's going to cost us $50 million more. There's a bit more construction costs and because of cost of materials and cost of life and inflation and a few troubles here and there in the planning of the team, it's going to cost $50 million more. So I think it might be a backlash to that. And you're right, the taxpayers. And of course, he's a Democratic Party holder here, Mayor John Cooper, but he does have some conservatives ideology that we have seen him implement in Nashville since his election. So is this all related to this? Is it something else? Even if you go back to April 2019, Dwayne, last year, a few people involved in the project, especially on the Nashville side or on the city side, the Metro Council, at that point, looking at one clause in the contract in Nashville and the partnership, saying that in a period of 24 months after the first kickoff of the game, after their home opener and their first game in the next few weeks, 24 months from removed from that date, if they haven't played a game in their soccer-specific stadium, at that point, the land itself goes back to Metro, and the future of the team becomes, well, in doubt. So there's a lot of complicated issue now when we look at Nashville. Even looking back, hindsight, I suggest you Google Nashville contract money and go back to a year and a half ago. This is just a continuation of something that has been brewing locally for a while now.
Yeah, and look, again, as outsiders, we can't really fully understand the nuance of any political debate in any city that we're not in. But then I'll follow that up by saying there's not a lot of nuance in political debates, regardless of where you are right now. So I think we got a good idea of what's happening here. This seems like a defer, and eventually the time will tick out and maybe you can get a deal that you prefer, which is just unfortunately the state of politics nowadays around the world. No one ever is satisfied. They're just going to try and grind out for their own opinion and flip and flop, and it's just a disaster. And for the record, before people turn off their devices and unsubscribe, I'm not taking sides, Republican versus Democrat here. They're both screwed. You know, small c, small l, when we're talking about conservative liberal in terms of these attitudes. But forget that for a second, even that. When you're talking about stadium and infrastructure improvements, particularly with sports infrastructure, Kevin, it really comes down to what? Hard benefits, soft benefits. And I think this strikes to me a little bit because there are some over rides happening here. There are some
over expenditures.
And this is typical, and this is where the pro stadium side of the debate always makes the mistake, and where I will take them to task every time is that make your damn estimates accurate, because you only hurt yourself when you don't.
I was going to say, how about you estimate $50 million more than you think, and guess what? At the end, if you're like, well, it cost us $50 million less, you're going to look good. If you do the exact opposite, you're going to look bad. It's all about perception, dummy.
Yes, and okay. Here's a quick primer on our biggest talking point when we talk about stadiums. There are two types of benefits. Kevin, you know these very well, but for those new listeners, really quickly, there are hard benefits, there are soft benefits. A hard benefit is something like creating a job, well, literally financial, like creating jobs, creating more money in the local economy, whether that's bars, restaurants, things like that. Typically speaking, that's how people try to sell stadium projects. They say, we're going to create X amount of jobs, we're going to create X amount of more money in the local economy. That I think there is a bit of that, but that is the wrong way to sell stadium plans, because really the biggest advantage, biggest positive about a stadium is a soft benefit. Stuff like inspiration. People are inspired. People feel happier to be living in that community. People feel proud of that. They have more attachment to their local city. They're more active because they want to emulate what they see out in that stadium. That is the soft benefit. That is really, to me, the more important aspect of any of these bills. And you have to prove that the cost of these projects, which there's always going to be a cost, is worth that soft benefit. That's how you should sell them. And I think that once again, we have seen a failure to do that here, because clearly there is a divide in Nashville of people that do not, that are still fighting this thing, even though it is done. It should be done and dusted, but they're still fighting
Exactly.
it because they have not bought into the soft benefits. And this is, once again, I think a failing of communication and a failure of those that are trying to push these projects through to get so obsessed with the numbers. Because the numbers, when I'm talking about finances, when I say numbers, are never going to add up. They're never going
It's
to,
never
because
enough.
they don't make as much money as you say. They don't create as many jobs as you think. But they do create all of that inspiration, that soft stuff that is hard to quantify. They do that. That's what you should focus on if you're trying to sell these things.
Yeah, it one thing, yeah, and also the commercial venues, the marketing, the branding, advertisement, those are more the route to trying to sell your project than trying to say, yeah, you know, a lot of people will come pay money and visit our things. The fairground is desperately in need of love, and this is one of the projects to revitalize the fairgrounds in Nashville. We'll see what happens until February 6th, which is next Friday. That's the deadline, I guess, soft deadline, it looks like, to have some resolution in this. But it is a more complicated issue, because if you go back to last April also, there's an organization called Save Our Fairgrounds. So it's basically a lobby. And we've seen these lobbies before. And Dwayne and I had we still do actually, we have the Five Rings podcast, our Olympic podcast. And a few years ago, Boston was touted to be the host of the 2024 Summer Olympics. And it was a good bid. But there was a not necessarily that big, but very loud opposition lobby called No Boston Olympic, and they were that was one of the president at that time was Chris Dempsey of No Boston Olympics, and don't ask me why I know this, don't ask. And you know, at that point, that lobby was able to convince everyone, and the idea was just eventually nixed and never passed through the political arenas to make it happen and the referendums. The thing is here is referendums did happen, and the council. And they did win for it to happen. Yes, they lost the partial funded referendum that happened just after, but it happened. But the lobby is still there fighting, saving for our save our fairgrounds. And that lobby is composed, not mostly, maybe just a small portion, but there is a lot of Nashville NASCAR fans that love that short track, that love that ideology. A lot of fair people literally love the fair, and they say because of the stadium project, because of the Major League Soccer team and a few other buildings that you're trying to put, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, is the building north of the stadium that you see on your screen right now. The purple buildings will be the new one in Nashville. And the opposition is it does take away from some part of the crew, the back stage area of the speedway. So there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of ideology, and a lot of real estate components to this political battle. And when you look at the background of Mayor John Cooper, a lot of it from 85 after was done in Williamson County in the real estate world south of Nashville. I don't think all these things that I've been talking about, I don't think they're all like coincidences. I think there's a narrative through it all, and I think that opposition might, even though they lost the vote, they might find a way to get theirs. But it's a fascinating story that is a lot more layered than just, oh, money and stadium and the mayor not wanting something that his predecessor did.
I'm hearing a stadium on a fairgrounds with a racetrack around it reminds me of somewhere. That BMO is on a fairgrounds, and there is, in fact, a racetrack around it. But at any rate,
Dwayne, how many times did you hear the same thing about Montreal with the Hippodrome or Blue Bonnet? It's literally the same thing, too. And that place was desperately in need of love, too. It doesn't exist anymore. But there were the same issues and same ideologies, and there's. I don't know what it is about society nowadays, but everyone picks sides, everyone fights against each other, and nothing gets done. And that's the problem, that nothing gets done. Agree or not, at some point, things need to get done.
Yeah, you got to move forward. Sorry to interject, but yeah. Last thought on it, from my perspective anyway, is look, there's an underlying other issue here that I'm hearing from this, and it has nothing really to do with the stadium. Well, it does, adjacently. It's that Nashville seems like it might not be going in a launch in a general way and as positive as we'd like. We've heard something around only 5,000 season tickets have been sold.
It's more than that.
I don't. Sorry, say that again.
I was going to say it's probably more than that at this point. But let's say even 10 for a new team. You're a month away from your home opener and you're not sold out and you got a new expansion. Yeah, that's not how it works in Major League Soccer in 2020.
And you just don't hear any hype around them. Like, you know, with Miami, obviously Miami has Beckham attached to it, and it's Miami, so it's a little sexier, always was going to be. But Nashville is a cool place, and a lot of people love Nashville for off-field reasons. And you would have thought there would have been a little more hype. I mean, what do you think of now when you think of Nashville, this team? You think of Dax McCarty, really? Is that enough to sell a team around? Like, there's just not a lot of hype there, and it's going to be interesting to see how this team launches. And what I'm hearing from this resistance to it, if there was excitement locally, like true excitement locally, there'd be less resistance. There would be less political will to try and continue this fight because you would have had this large body of fans, of sports fans, soccer fans in particular, that would have been like, no, don't screw with our stadium. But because I don't think they're sensing that and locally, they feel a little more power. There's chest is at a little bit more. It's just the soccer team. Like, who cares? And we don't see that as a lot anymore because soccer is kind of mainstream now. Not kind of mainstream. It is. But, like, there was a time that's not that long ago. Like, I think back to BMO to bring it up again because I was very intimately following that.
Yeah.
There was still a lot of that kind of like, why the hell are we spending money on a soccer stadium? No one's going to go. And I suspect there might be a bit of that happening in Nashville, too. Because it just doesn't seem like there's much there. Like the World Cup bid got mentioned there, and I think they throw that in purposely because that's bigger than Major League Soccer, right? Like,
and it strikes the imagination, we could say.
Yeah, and that's what they're pumping probably. And again, go back to BMO. They weren't talking about MLS. They were talking about the USAR, the U20 championships.
Yeah, the Canadian men's national team, because it was like, yeah, this is our national soccer stadium, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But on that note, Dwayne, I do think that it's too late, though, right? You already signed the papers. You passed the vote. People said yes. When I say people, I mean the council people, people of the Metro Council, municipal court, I guess. They said yes. And funds have been put and people have been agreeing and contract have been signed. And it's too late. So, yeah, that's what I think. It's too little, too late. And now, like you say, it's, you know, I know you wanting to cut that tree down and you're not happy that I already sold the wood, but chaining yourself to that tree will not stop development.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's will not. I mean, Nashville's going ahead, even if we have some problems. I mean, I found Don Garber's comments, which we haven't really mentioned, where he said he wouldn't have given the team to Nashville without this. It's an odd thing to say because it doesn't put a lot of confidence in the market.
No, it's kind of like saying, dude, we agreed, we had a deal, but if I knew that you were going to act this way, we would not have a deal to begin with. That's never a good moment in a business partnership. And usually after that moment, you don't really recover. You know what it reminds me of? Like, you have a great relationship. You've been with your girlfriend for 2-3 years and you're thinking about popping the question. You're thinking about asking her to marry you. and you go down on one knee and you give the best speech of your entire life and you're trying to convince her and she looks at you and just turns around and walks away. Yeah, trying to recover that relationship. That's what Nashville and MLS is for me at this moment.
Fair enough. And just as a little hint, guys, never do that at a sports stadium. Please don't.
Please
no
don't.
One needs to see that. Please don't.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you can do it at a sports stadium. If it's empty and you're there like on a tour and there's nobody else and you do something special, that's one thing. In the middle of a game, no. Yeah, no, I agree.
No. All right.
On that note, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back on Soccer Today.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Blarme. This show at Soccer Today SBN live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. on our Twitter feed. Dwayne, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork for our bonus coverage. We had a Christine St. Clair press conference earlier this week on the main feed, and we have Dwayne and I's opinion of the great moment Wednesday night on our Patreon page. Also, you can find more at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Dwayne, I have a breaking news for you that I don't think you have seen yet. It's 10 minutes old. Mexico named host of 2020 CONCACAF Women's Under-17 Championship.
Well, there you go. It's good that it's spreading around the region. That's what all I have to say.
It's better
it's good
than,
that it's not in the United States.
Yeah, and was it Salvador that was supposed to host one of these tournaments like last year? Or was it Honduras? Or I'm sorry I don't have the right Central American country, but there was one, and because of political and social unrest, things have to be nixed and it had to be postponed. I think it was Nicaragua maybe. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's just an example. But Mexico named host for 2020, the CONCACAF Women's Under-17 Championship, which is always a good way to handicap the elite young players' development at a level where usually the best U-17 players are on the cusp of a women's national team, at least for us in Canada, like the Jordan Heidemas of this world. And that will be a good time to watch them later this year. Dwayne, speaking of good times, and yeah, it's been quite quiet. It's been a slow news, not day, but a slow news window transfer window. In Europe, it ends tonight, and my Blues, Chelsea, are whiffing on everything, apparently. Giroud's staying put, no one's coming in, no one's leaving out, and we're just going to deal with, which is kind of fine, I guess. Oh, we're going to deal with what we have now. But when you look at this transfer window, when's the last time did you see a transfer window where the biggest moves actually aborts? It's almost very rare.
Yeah, it's been very quiet for sure. I mean, the January window is always quieter at any rate, but it is interesting that the big players have not really gone all in. And I can't help but think the distance, and we're talking about England primarily here. Obviously, there are other countries. We're not trying to ignore that, but yeah, this is the end of the English window.
I was going
to
say Italy and Inter Milan have been like the busiest team in the last
and
two
Ericsson
window transfers.
Going, yeah. Which is probably from Spurs, the Ericsson movement from Spurs is probably the biggest one from an England perspective, I would say. But I think that the size of the title race, the lack of a title race, is really maybe the main reason here, because you have a club in Manchester City that has a lot of money to spend, as always, that has some concerns at the back, to say the least. If the points hurt, then they're screwed, basically, is what it comes down to. And that's why the title race doesn't exist this year. So they didn't spend, though, because what's the point? You're going to get better value in the summer. So even a club like City is not going to overspend. So they are going to overspend if they have to, but they're not going to do it purposely, right? So they.
I was going to say, they're not going to overspend to win the title this year.
Yeah, and you look, and they look, I would suggest that there's also some uncertainty with Pep in terms of whether he's going to stay beyond this season. There has been some suggestion that he might be burning out a little bit. And if you look at his history, this is kind of where he moves on, and that will mean there will be some kind of transition in Manchester City's history. You know, haters out there, I don't think they're going to go away. They'll just hire someone else big. But nonetheless, that might mean that you'll have someone coming in at the end of the year to put their own vision on things. And all of that, I think, adds up to them just saying, well, maybe we'll just put the brakes on this and see what we can do, you know. City's season is going down to two games against Real Madrid at this point, realistically. You know, a club, they can win a League Cup again, and hell, even win the FA Cup again, and they're not going to be the season successful unless they go deep in the Champions League. And by deep, I mean
winning it.
Probably win it. Yeah.
What's the point of going to the quarters? This is, yeah.
Yeah, and so you look at that and you add it all up, and I think that they probably just think there's going to be a major reset on that team this year anyway. I mean, and there will be. There is a major reset coming. There's a generation of players have started to move on already and will continue to move on with Silva leaving this year and Aguero leaving at the end of his contract next year. He's already on record of saying that. If I'm them, I am going to hold back a little bit. And they do have financial fair play to worry about a little bit. They're already potentially in some hot water over that, over actions that happened about 7 years ago now. Justice moves swift, doesn't it? Anyway, so yeah. And it's not that they're the only team in that window, but I think a lot of teams are looking at the same thing. And there's not a lot of move. The other issue to go on the other side of the table is how tight everything is below it. Like, if you're a lower... It used to be that if you were a mid-level Premier League team, there was like a core of teams that felt safe but weren't competing. And they potentially could use a time like this to maybe make a little bit of bucks to set themselves up for bigger buys in the summer. Yeah. No one feels safe right now.
It's either like you're battling for Europe or you're battling for relegation.
Yeah, either, so there's just not a lot of sellers internally that are happening right now. And I think that just kind of all added up.
Yeah, it all adds up, and I think you're right. I think it's a combination of that financial fair play, where all the big teams are in Europe right now too, right? If you look at individual leagues, you might see battles. Like if you go to Bundesliga, it's a lot tighter this year than it has been over last couple of years, which means that Bayern is not dominating to the extent that they were the last few years, basically. And if you go to Italy, there's a battle now in Italy. Napoli's playing well. Of course, Juventus is Juventus. But you see Inter rising from the ashes. You also see, in England, though, the opposition. You see Liverpool going unbeaten in the entire T of the league. And then, yeah, PSG was just PSG in League One. So I understand where the big clubs are not in a... And there's always a domino effect, right, in the transfer market. And if the big club don't go after the big players... Then there's no domino, no trickle down or trickle up effect, depending of if the player is past his prime or going to his prime, right? If example, if Mo Salah, if Liverpool wants to get the new biggest striker in the world, right? Liverpool go gets him, and then Salah becomes out of a job and he goes somewhere else. So you have a trickle up or trickle down effect. I think because of the stability of the big clubs in Europe right now, I think it explains the quiet aspect of this transfer window.
Yeah, something like that for sure. And again, this January in general is a more difficult season to make some moves. There have been some people that have speculated that perhaps just scrapping the January window altogether would make sense. But I think the bigger clubs would resist that because they would look at January as an opportunity to fill a major hole when they are in a title race. But,
or if someone gets injured, right? Yeah, that's also like the big – that's what it should be, though. It should be like the injury replacement transfer window where – I don't want to say there's rules and times and gams in a salary cap. No. But I'm just saying, pragmatically speaking, that's what it is. That's what it has become. If you have a big injury and you're set back and you don't have anyone in your academy, in your roster to take over that spot. And I'm thinking about like a strike, because that's often, I mean, you have a big disparity between your starting 11 striker and the other strikers. And if you lose a starting 11 one, well, guess what? You might need one. So, yeah, I can see the utility of it, but I can also see where teams in Europe that are in a way nothing to lose or nothing to gain by risking something will just stay put in January.
Yeah, well, you, Suarez, I think, would be the example of what you're talking about them. He's, of course, out for the rest of the year, and Barcelona has been making some feelers since his injury went down to try and maybe replace him with limited success so far. And, you know, La Liga is a strange year this year too. And if you're Barcelona, you might look for it because you have the financial might to do it. But at the same time, you might go, yeah, whatever, we might win anyway. So it is what it is.
And the other day, you just look at the roster like, okay, we got Messi, we got Griezmann. Okay, well, yeah, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
On that note, do not forget to follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. Come on, people, give me a follow. I'm almost at 2,000. I know. I don't. I shouldn't beg. Begging is never good. Never good. But please follow me on social media. We'll be back on Monday for another edition of Soccer Today, the World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. The Women's Soccer Review podcast will be recorded today and will be out very soon on the Sports Podcasting Network. Same for Around the A podcast, a American Hockey League podcast, will be out tomorrow. But Dwayne, I'm also proud to officially announce Tristan Damore or Julian McKenzie with their Scrum podcast. The Scrum podcast will be joining the Sports Podcasting Network in the next few months. Make sure you follow them at the Scrum Podcast for more information on episode one that will drop on the Sports Podcast. And it's episode 81 in the entire life, but it'll be the first one on SPN. But as always, until Monday, 11 a.m. for another edition of Soccer Today, we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.